Stanley Milgram did an experiment called the Milgram experiment. He realized that 67% of the people will kill you if an authority figure tells you to do so. If you break open your iPhone's terms of service, it's going to talk about how dangerous these things are to hold on to your body. You're wearing the AirPods, very unique cancer that comes from those. Cell phones are addicting, and it's a dopamine addiction. The YouTube executives, Facebook executives, Apple executives do not give their children devices. Climate change is a big hoax. Nikola Tesla invented wireless, harmless, free energy. It's all lies and deceit because this is what is creating massive amounts of pollution. Screw climate change. Be healthy first in your own little ecosystem. How do we expect the world to be healthy if we can't be healthy ourselves? Hey, Andy.
Hello, Troy. How are you?
Hey, good to see you. Yeah, I'm doing good.
I love the setup. That's a cool robe with all the eyes.
Yeah, a girlfriend, I just did her podcast and she works with indigenous women. And this is from Mykonos, I think. And it's made out of a special organic cotton. And it's got the evil eye to keep the evil eye off.
That's so cool. How's your day been? Have you just been filming back-to-back podcasts today?
I did a couple coaching sessions, worked with my team, and then your podcast and then another one. So right after this.
Awesome, beautiful. Where are you currently based, Troy?
I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. Where are you, Andy?
Sydney, Australia.
Oh wow. What time is it there?
It's currently 10:02 a.m.
Okay. Not too crazy on the time zones. I have some clients out there and we always have to, you know, be courteous of that, of scheduling them in. Mm. And yeah. So, and what's your main specialty? Are you teaching entrepreneurs?
My main specialty is I teach people how to build online e-commerce businesses. Drop shipping, e-com brands, how to sort of find source products, how to run ads, Facebook, TikTok advertising. So I have a program on that.
Facebook and TikTok advertising. I have a cold traffic guy, 70-year-old guy that worked with some of the original copywriters and Infusionsoft. And so he's running my cold traffic, but I am very interested in, I think we spent 3 weeks trying to get a TikTok shop up. I have a friend's skincare line that's amazing. Mm. Sorry, I'm getting my earpiece out here. and so we worked on, I don't know, I think we spent 3 weeks on it, back and forth, trial and error. We got nothing. So.
Cold traffic is very difficult. Cold traffic is like nearly impossible. I think after I remember spending 2-3 years trying to crack cold traffic, and we got it to a point where it was break even, but we needed a whole sales team that were calling all the leads that were coming in through cold traffic, and these people had no idea who we were, so it was a mass numbers game. But in the end, I think for someone like you, Troy, just doing retargeting ads, just retargeting everyone that's followed you on Instagram, retargeting all your YouTube followers, that would have a huge ROI.
Yeah. So I've got somebody on that, and we did sell 5,000 units of my breathwork course. But what I wanted to get set up was just my TikTok shop, mm. You know? And anyways, there are so many facets of the game. And so maybe we can have another call and talk business. Or maybe you want to talk business right on the platform. I'm good with whatever you want to do. Does it sound better with these on?
Sounds way better. Thank you for doing that, Troy.
Okay, great.
How I first came about you, I think I was scrolling through Instagram. I saw a clip. I think you were like, you had this full Gucci tracksuit on and you were, you know, you had your long hair and you looked like this sort of, you know, this Greek model. And you were talking about what it was like being a model and how it was horrible. And you were so vulnerable. You're talking about how it was just so bad on your self-esteem and they're telling you to sort of lose weight. And then I started digging into your content. Then I started hearing some of your podcasts. You're talking about sort of like the world system and all the evil elites. And that's something I've been starting to learn about. And then I think I saw like an old YouTube video of you in the Amazon. You're like interviewing these sort of shamans in the Amazon. And that's how I came to know about you. So I saw you in all these different versions of you. And I was like, wow, I'd love to chat with you and have you on the podcast.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you tuned in. I've been at it for a while and I love to share my experience.
Troy, I guess for the audience, could you give them a bit of an intro of like who you are and sort of, I guess, what you're currently focused on?
Yeah. So you give a little bit of the background?
Yeah, like a brief background and I'll probably then take bits and pieces that I think the audience will be interested in and would take it from there.
So I started out as a young man, as a Versace model. I heard that's the way I could make, you know, good fast money or good money. And so I moved to Milan and the agents, like I said, were very ruthless. And, you know, I was bloating and drinking beer and partying and like a young man, right? My college days were spent in Milan and Paris and London and Tokyo, kind of just partying, you know? And the agents were like, you know, oh, honey, you're fat. As soon as I got to Milan, and I was like, well, I wasn't fat yesterday. So, you know, I didn't realize I was bloating and retaining water and inflammation from what I was eating. So I went down to the bookstore, grabbed a book on nutrition and started studying nutrition. From there, herbs and practicing whole food nutrition, shopping at the farmers markets and got instant results. And that was about 30 plus years ago, 35 years ago now, and did my first 10-day juice cleanse, practiced fasting, some herbalism, dandelion really was a great diuretic. I instantly got results, and so that was my journey into health starting 35 years ago. Since then, I sobered up, I studied Vipassana meditation, I got involved with Maori healers from New Zealand, I sat sweat lodges with the Lakota. Then I drank ayahuasca with the Shipibo Indians in the Amazon. I was working with an herbal company in the Amazon rainforest. So my affinity towards natural medicine continued. And I started working with an herbal company in the Amazon, drinking ayahuasca. And then I came out of the jungle with all this exotic footage working in the jungle because the digital age had began. And social media had begun as well. So I had all this unique digital footage in the Amazon rainforest studying herbs and health. And I came out and YouTube was a brand new reality. Now, I went from modeling into acting and then into comedy and doing stand-up. And I moved to Hollywood at a time before the digital age, and you had to rent a Panavision truck and film. It cost you about $75,000 per day to rent all this equipment to shoot a film. And you had to beg a USC student to put you in their student film. And so within 20 years or about almost 20 years, that completely shifted. Now you had a digital camera. You got an Apple laptop. This was before the phones. And you're your own movie studio. And now with YouTube, you have a distribution platform. And so within the span of my career in front of the camera, I became writer, producer, actor, director, distribution. And now, you know, I work on turning that into a business 20 years later and monetizing my brand that I've built for the last 20 years.
Has most of your brand and monetization come through your YouTube channel, Instagram, TikTok? Where have you been able to sort of get the most reach and monetize the most?
So that's a good question. I have never allowed corporate advertising on what I consider my art, right? My videos, I had a background in comedy. So I do like to, you know, have some humor in my videos for the most part. And so YouTube is never advertised, but if you know what's happening on YouTube, they've been putting ads on my videos now, I think for the last 5 or 6 years. And the platforms keep changing, so I haven't gone back in there and figured out how to monetize. Plus, I talk a lot of controversial subjects, and natural medicine is antithetical to drugs and pharmaceutical companies, which, if you're following the way of the world, they pretty much dictate commerce and media. And so my good friend JP Sears was censored during lockdown and coronavirus because he's got a holistic background. And JP Sears is a famous comedian, long red-haired guy. He's now ultra-conservative because they stifled his free speech during the COVID era. And so that brought out the patriot in him. And now you see him as a conservative, but he's still very funny. And the same thing has happened with me. I mean, you know, who basically the way I figured the world out and taking it back to the Amazon, I had three very powerful visions. One was my family, and I wasn't married at the time. I've since had two children, and that vision is still unfolding. The second was an amalgamation of my online, my on-camera career, my natural medicine studies, and my comedy background. And Certified Health Nut is what you see now from that. That is still unfolding. These were very clear visions on ayahuasca in the Amazon in 2006. The third one was that humanity makes it from the precipice of ecological disaster and just basically the mess that we've created with manifest destiny in the industrial age. And so I came out of the jungle, desirous to be the change in the world. And I read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, about the IMF and the World Bank doing these loans to these third world countries, and then asking them to pay them back in return with their natural resources and a slave wage for their people to pull it out of the ground. We're seeing this with the cobalt and lithium mines now with the electric vehicles, but this has been going on with oil in the Middle East and Sudan and different parts of the world. Venezuela, we've seen destroyed politically, coup d'etats, etc. They're the number four producer of oil on planet Earth. Number five is Ecuador. Number six is Peru. And the rainforest gets cut down for this oil exploration, then the cash crops, and the lumber. And so this was kind of the way of the world set up. So who is John D. Rockefeller? What are the systems that he set forth in place? Well, a lot of the monopoly laws, the corporate monopoly laws, were instituted because of the way he just pushed businesses that were in his way out of his way. And so they broke up Standard Oil and they made them into many different subsidiaries. But the Rockefellers still own the conglomerates of that. They set up the banking system. They set up the UN. They set up the WHO. And they also made universities. They put in the medical doctors. John D. Rockefeller's father, I do believe, was a snake oil salesman. And so basically what they set up in the real quackery is this whole medical model, right? Giving you a dose of poison, or 42% of all drugs and 25% of all cancer drugs get their impetus from rainforest plants. So why not work with natural ways and natural medicine and the plants themselves? No, because you can't patent them and standardize, isolate, synthesize, and then patent them, and then you own the drugs. And we live in a drug top-down world. Drugs, chemicals, weapons, oil, and the media, these are the conglomerates that are keeping us in place right now, the propaganda that keeps everything in place. And if you say things outside of the boundaries of the medical establishment, you'll either be censored and or you can be sued, right? And so I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to treat, mitigate, or cure anything. I just play one on TV. No, just kidding. So, but the bottom line, this is the way of the world. And pesticides and herbicides are stuck to the plant by petrochemical byproducts. Drugs all have preservatives and petrochemical byproducts in them. And so these are all spinoffs of this oil top-down oligarchy. And the oil men are now the banker, and the banksters have always kept us nicely tucked away and enslaved. And then they invented the industrial age school system, which teaches us to sit down, shut up, consume, comply, and conform. And so, you know, they don't want big thinkers out there. But that's fine, because there is no bad or good. These are all awakening tools, because I don't like to play the victim whatsoever. These are awakening tools. How do you wake up a human being? It's like the shoot of grass under the asphalt or the concrete. You can't kill the human spirit. It's going to come through the concrete no matter what. It's going to come through the oppression. And so that's where my head is at. But I did have to figure out the planetary systems, the worldwide civilization systems, to unravel it and design the future, if you will. Like Buckminster Fuller said, you don't fight the existing system. You design the future, and that will fall to the wayside. And it's rotten to the core now, so it's only a matter of time.
So over the last few months, I've been sort of learning and being awakened to, you know, all these crazy facts that, you know, I was not initially taught, like things like climate change might not be real, tap water is bad, chemtrail, weather manipulation, depopulation. I had no idea that people wanted to kill people, pedophilia, money is used for slavery, like all these things I'm being taught. Like now it's sort of, I can't unsee it, but I remember being like, why would the elites go through all these effort to do these things? But after learning all these things, I'm back to square zero. I'm like, okay, what now?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a big part of my question. So what now? I mean, my solutions always come back to like what Gandhi said, become the change that you wish to see in the world. And so if we're dealing with a population in the United States of America, 70% of the people are overweight or obese. And the definition of obese is 50 pounds overweight. And most people in this country are severely obese. Then you've got them all doped up on pharmaceutical drugs. So they're on drugs, even though they're legal, right? You've got a whole populace that's messed up on drugs. And whatever we do, we're kind of the trendsetters. We export as business. And so it goes to the Western world first, and then the developing worlds, the quote unquote developing worlds. I say that they're closer to the earth and they're already developed, right? I think we're the underdeveloped people. And then we also, chemical industrial waste, industrial compounds that we create, that we ban in this country, like DDT, mosquito and pesticide, and we export to Vietnam, Peru, Ecuador. And so, you know, things are definitely out of balance, but the food in the United States is poisoned. There is no doubt about it. Now, is it poisoned on purpose because they want to dumb down the populace and make the people sick and dependent on drugs? Yes, that is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who was a consumer advocate, and both his father and his uncle were shot by the CIA. And so you want to look at, you know, what are the mechanisms, right? These systems maim, right? The drug companies are intertwined with the chemical agribusiness companies, which are intertwined with the food companies. And we produce, we throw away as much food as we produce in the United States, yet one in four children in Los Angeles are food deprived, right? And obesity is a form of malnourishment, the body starving for nutrients. And it keeps eating this garbage. And the body's extremely intelligent. It's like a biocomputer. And if you're shoveling inputs in there that the body doesn't know what to do, it stores a lipid structure around it and stores it for later. We'll deal with this later. But if you're constantly putting inflammatory agents and chemicals and things that can't metabolize into the body, then what you see is these morbidly obese people and the subsequent issues that we see, new cancers popping up, diabetes across the board. And they're saying that Alzheimer and dementia, I think, is type 3 diabetes now. And so, you know, mess with the metabolic function of the human being and the DNA of the human being, and then what you're going to have are all these new sickness anomalies.
Troy, with all this knowledge and your worldview, do you think it's possible for you to prevent yourself from getting cancer? Was cancer still unknown, and you might be able to get hit with cancer despite doing everything you shared.
Well, sure. I mean, anything's possible. We've got a lot of discordant energies. We've got new, let's face it, all these new radio waves, discordant, dirty electricity. Electricity's only, what, 150, 200 years old? Our biofields aren't used to it. Now you've got cell phone towers. I just hiked the tallest mountain here in Scottsdale, and there's big signs out there. Stay away from these radio towers. Electrical fields, very dangerous. Warning. And so, you know, if you break open your iPhone's terms of service in the catalog about it, it's going to talk about how dangerous these things are to hold on to your body, much less put them up to your head, which is mostly fat and water. And those signals are going to come through your skull, especially if there's a stronger signal on the other side of your skull. Or worse, you're wearing the AirPods, right? Very unique cancer that comes from those. And so the potential and the pollution is incredible. Look what's coming out of the airplanes. God knows what they're seeding the clouds with, but we're breathing that in. And then you top it off with frequency. And if people don't understand frequency, just understand music. You've got crazy heavy metal and thrash metal. And then you have like a Beethoven and Bach, something that's more harmonic, right? And each one affects your mood differently, right? And so that's just one aspect of energy, psychic energy, frequency, right? Go into a soccer stadium during a soccer game, and you know, the energy is very high. Go to that soccer stadium on a business day, on a Tuesday, when nobody's in there, right? It's going to be a different energy. You know, same thing with Friday afternoon at a work building, or Monday morning at that same office, right? So Tesla said to understand the universe is to understand frequency, vibration, and energy, right? So think in those terms. And when you're around someone that has, that you feel good, that's a higher frequency vibration, right? So this isn't anything woo-woo. This is just basic physics. Look, if the Indians in the Amazon in Ecuador, there's a famous Oxy Petroleum Chevron lawsuit that went to the United States, to Ecuador, and back again. And they won like $17 billion. And the Indians, the Shuar Indians that were there, they got leukemia because of the oil waste, the lead, the cadmium, all the waste that they left from oil exploration in those lands. It poisoned the water, poisoned the fish, poisoned the people. And so look up that court case. It was groundbreaking. And just before coronavirus, the lawyer that was fighting it, they were trying to get the money, the settlement. And again, it took almost 20 years, and it went from country to country. And they say, oh, well, Ecuador has no jurisdiction over Oxy Petroleum or Chevron. And Chevron sold it to Oxy Petroleum. It was just a mess, and they tried every trick in the book. They finally won the lawsuit, and the lawyer that was fighting it got put into house arrest. I think he might still be there for doing some kind of misdemeanor or something like that. It was crazy, you know? And so those types of pollutional elements, we read Robert Kennedy Jr.'s new book on bioweapons. He did one on Fauci, and then I think he just released a new one on bioweapons. And it was the CIA's program on bioweapons. After World War I and World War II, they didn't want as much collateral damage and trauma amongst the people and ruining all those European cities, right? And what we did to Nagasaki and Hiroshima as well. And so they wanted to fight germ warfare. So they started a bioweapons program. And Kennedy put the stop to that. And then they murdered Kennedy. And the guy that he fired, Alan Dulles, was the one who helmed the Warren Report, basically saying, this is what happened in the JFK assassination, which was all bullshit, right? And so, and then Nixon, I think, called a moratorium on the bioweapons program, but it went to top secret, and that's when they put Fauci on it, back in like 1969. Anyways, you guys can read the book at home and really follow along. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a long history with the CIA because of his uncle being president, being murdered, and then his father being murdered as well. And so I think that's worthy of people's introspection. And this man's running for president of the United States right now. And he is a consumer advocate. That's the thing. He was part of the Waterkeepers Alliance. You have to have an Ivy League degree and have a boat on a body of water. And they're from Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, I think. And so he would fight these corporate polluters. He's got two Ivy League degrees. And so for law. And so really smart cookie. And he's an American, you know, he likes America, you know. And so, but you see what's happening in the news these days. Everyone's just being propagandized to death. If they're not playing with the global system and the World Economic Forum, then they're a bad man. And then we're going to usher out all this bad press out on them. Anyways, man, sounds like I'm getting a little long-winded there, but could I get cancer? Sure. Do I have the tools to heal myself from anything? Sure. Nature heals everything. How can I get back to nature as much as possible? But people that are in the commercial system that see the commercial medical doctors, they'll tell you you're screwed. So what I do for myself and my children, I teach my children to be their own doctors. I am my own doctor. I don't need outside influence. And when it's my time to die, I'll know it. It's not my time to die. And so I have plenty of tools in my toolbox to heal me from anything.
How did you teach your children to be their own doctor? Is it just sort of listening to your body? And, you know, right now as I'm listening to my body, it wants me to go outside, take my shoes off and ground myself in the grass. Is that me being my own doctor?
Sure. Yes. Body needs sunlight. Body needs grounding. You're electromagnet being. You're an electromagnetic being. You get electricity from the sun, and then you get grounded from and magnetism from the earth. And so we need that each and every day. And so I do the best I can with my children. Remember, children are children, and they're always God likes novelty. So hormonally, they're going to want to disobey or be rebellious to the parents. So I do as much fun stuff as I can with the kids, with my children, so that they know that dad's there for them. But when it comes to nutritionist food, I don't mess around. When it comes to moving their body, they're in dance class. My son plays ice hockey. They move their bodies. If they're sitting around the house, I grab them. We go out. We walk the dog. I take them to the beach. They grew up on the beach. I have them have bicycles. Kids don't play in the street anymore. Well, maybe it's a little dangerous. Cartels are snatching kids off the street. Whatever's happening. But the bottom line is I've done my best to get my children out and moving and independent. They have bicycles since they were very young, and now they have electric bikes so they can go farther distances. So body's got to move. They got bedtimes. They don't have cell phones. These are military grade weapons. And cell phones are addicting, and it's a dopamine addiction. And the corporations know this by the colors that they use and the techniques that they use for the algorithm. So they don't have access to it. Sometimes they get their hands on it, or, you know, somebody's got Netflix in the house. I didn't have televisions forever, but I'm renting a house now. They have television. So it's my children are smart. They'll find their way to the technology if they want to. But for the most part, if I catch them on it, they may get an earful of me. And then they went to a Steiner school, Rudolf Steiner, Waldorf school. They had a zero media policy. And when you meet my children, they are very coherent. They are like talking to adults. And so I like it like that. So I do the best I can to keep these data ports and technology away from them, no different than the Silicon Valley executives, right? The YouTube executives, Facebook executives, Apple executives do not give their children devices.
Whoa. Is that in a book? How do we know that these executives don't give their kids access to devices of their own products from their own company?
I think it's well known that Steve Jobs did that. And then the Social Dilemma on Netflix exemplified that.
Wow.
And Rudolf Steiner and the principles that he taught, he wanted the children in nature around natural fabrics, learn how to cook, learn how to grow food. By the time they learn how to read, which is later on in life, they can learn the abstract idea of a textbook telling them about biology. But when they're children, they learn the visceral experience of planting a seed into the ground. And so the Steiner had these techniques, and the Steiner schools and the Montessori schools, they all talked about that, and they do the best to have minimal or zero media. They saw it coming.
You talked about not messing with nutrition and food. For the average person, if they walk into a Costco, would eating the fresh fruits, vegetables, fresh fish, fresh meats on the sort of edges of the store, is that sort of sufficient, or is that also poisoned?
Well, it depends on where you're shopping. And if it's Costco, then you have to do a lot of research for those commercial conduits like Walmart and Costco, big stores. Now, because they are so big stores, Walmart, I know, has become, Walmart and Costco have become the largest distributor of organic food, I do believe. I don't know in which category. But remember, if you're getting something that comes out of the ground, it has the most vitality the closer it comes out of the ground. If you're dealing with a commercial store, you're looking at 7 to 14 days out of the ground and refrigeration, et cetera. And so this diminishes the vitality. So we're all, when you talk with food with me, it's all about quality, right? Organic is one form of quality. Farmer direct is another form. It's more connection. But also, if you're farmer direct and they're using commercial fertilizers and tilling the ground and using pesticides and herbicides, you don't want that farmer direct food. That has been poisoned. And so what you want is regenerative farming, biodynamic farming, again, which Rudolf Steiner coined that term and talked about biodynamic farming, which is true organic, which is composting and fallowing, crop rotation, nitrogen sequestration for the soil. There's a new movie out called Common Ground, made by the people that made the movie Kiss the Ground. And so the soil is very important. And climate change is a big hoax as far as politically and economically hijacking people's consciousness. We've fucked up the environment, excuse my French, we've trashed the environment, yes, but until these oligarchs start talking about free energy as Nikola Tesla invented, wireless, harmless, free energy, it's all BS. It's all lies and deceit. And so, because this is what is creating massive amounts of pollution. And the solutions for, I don't like calling it climate change because the climate is always changing, for this mass pollution is biomimicry, aligning with biomimicry principles, and permaculture. To clean the earth, we have to live in symbiotic relationship with the earth. And good soil naturally takes the carbon out of the atmosphere. And that's what you want. And instead, they're trying to basically control us and get us off. You know, getting us off gasoline vehicles is great, but not if we're going to burn coal to power electrical plants to power these electric vehicles. That's BS. It's nice being around electric vehicles so you don't have to breathe the smog directly, but that's not changing the atmosphere. We're creating more waste with the electric vehicles. If you're looking at the cobalt and lithium mining and what it takes from cradle to grave to make an electric vehicle, it's not more sustainable. So I got segued off, but organic food, Costco. So we were on Costco. So read your ingredients, source the best you can. Definitely Costco organic is going to be better than commercial, or I would assume. Again, get on the phone, call the farms and investigate them, talk to them. Otherwise, shop locally, farmers market as much as possible. And if you don't have access to that, in the United States and Europe, we provide organic herbs and superfood, nutrient-dense materials, sprouted alfalfa, wheatgrass, We've got dehydrated fruits and vegetables, and we send them straight from our farms to people's family. And we've been doing that for 35 years. So I have a food delivery system. I save people time and money at the grocery store, and they don't have to complain that I don't have access to organic food. Yes, you do. You just have to source wisely. And then with your meats and your eggs and animal products, work directly with a farm or get your own chickens.
Makes sense. Yeah, because I was going to say it feels so complicated, but I think simply going to your farmer's market, that might be the easiest solution.
Yes, it can be complicated in the modern world, but what's more valuable than you and your health? Nothing. Nothing. Pain and anguish? You want pain and anguish or you want peace and harmony? It's your choice.
Peace and harmony.
Listen, I've done a lot of research on this. At the soul level, at the heart level, most human beings want peace. Right. And if that's the case, peace starts within. And peace is going to happen when you got good sleep, you got good clean water, you got good clean food. It's up to us in the West to carry the torch. There are people in these war-torn lands from us going after their natural resources that are suffering, and they cannot afford clean water. They cannot afford a good night's sleep, right? They are stressed out to the gills. It's up to us in the West that has the creature comforts to hold the bar of holism, freedom, health, peace, harmony. I say that most people want peace at the heart level. There's been research, about 6% of the population has the propensity to be a psychopath. And a definition of a psychopath is one who relishes in the pain of others. And if that's the case, well, who's running the political lands? Or who's involved, you know, who's been blackmailed by pedophilia or Epstein Island type of stuff. I had to realize, look, when I was sitting in the rainforest, I'm like, we started the Iraq war. I could see that that was about oil. I was just like, why is it that people that only three senators in 2003, I think it was, voted against the war in Iraq? And I was like, how can all these people, quote unquote, Democrats, be about bombing other people? How can that be? And then this Epstein Island pedophilia Pizzagate thing comes out, and Pizzagate came out because Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, John Podesta, he got a WikiLeaks dump. WikiLeaks got 30,000 emails from him, and in those emails, this stuff about Pizzagate was there. So this is a WikiLeaks situation. This isn't some conspiracy theory. Go on the WikiLeaks page and look at all this stuff. It was leaked out. These guys are up to no good. And Jeffrey Epstein wasn't even in a WikiLeaks. He got brought in for pedophilia and hiring underage prostitutes outside of all that stuff. And so word around the campfire is he's been blackmailing politicians and celebrities forever. That makes sense. That's why things don't change. That's why Obama didn't label GMOs. He said he would, but he didn't. Because they're all liars, cheaters, scammers. And somebody's got blackmail on them. Bad blackmail.
You talked about how, you know, humans naturally want peace, and then that's the instant thing. I was like, why are there like people that are like evil? Like, why do people exist that want to reduce the population, want the West to fall, want all this power? Like, I remember, like, when I was young, I used to look up to Bill Gates, and that's slowly changing, and like the story of him letting go of Microsoft and being a philanthropist and putting all his money to help the world, and like, apparently he's evil.
Well, I mean, I like to look at the integrity of a human being. And the literal and figurative definition of integrity is when the mind, the mouth, the heart, and the gut are aligned, literally and figuratively. So does it line up? Are your guts blown open? Because if you're full of shit, that's what it looks like. And so if you are ruling the world, or if you have that position of influence, is your shit aligned or is it blown out? Right. And so that's one indication. And then, yeah, he talks, you know, I just don't like the vibration of the brother. And he created Microsoft. That stuff's trash. I mean, he's got, oh, he's got, and what did McAfee do? McAfee wanted to come in and stop all the viruses. And what happened to McAfee? Did you go down that rabbit hole yet?
No, not yet. Oh, he got, like, he suicided or he got killed. Is he dead? Is he still alive?
Well, I mean, he went crazy, right? They chased him. And he just, you can't be that big of a whistleblower and kind of not lose your cookies. So I think he tried to do the best he could. And in the end, he went crazy. I mean, Kanye almost went crazy recently as well. You know, I don't know what it's like to be Bill Gates, first of all. I also understand the yin and the yang, right? I think the Taoists had a really good understanding of the dualistic paradox that we live in. How do you know the heights of joy if you don't know the depths of pain, right? This is the life, the light and the dark, right? The shadow and the light. And we all have a shadow side, right? We all have that potential as well. In my online community, I like to call people psycho chickens just because those are two funny words. And it just stuck. You know, I write comedy over the years. And anyhow, so the psycho chicken definition is you have the sum total of greatness and the sum total of darkness inside of you. And you're expressing it just the way you are in this moment. And I say that because someone very close to me, you know, wiped out my bank account, lied to the police, lied like a rug, right? And then this person was closest to me, right? How can you do so much evil? And then if you talk to the person, I'm an angel, right? I have no darkness, right? So the bottom line is we've all got the greatness. I'm here to grab the greatness out of people. And so, but lots of times we can be bullshitting ourselves. Nuh-uh. My shit don't stink. Uh-uh. You know? And so always look in the mirror. And, you know, you asked me about my children and the doctor. The best diagnostic tool is looking in the mirror. Don't bullshit yourself, right? If you don't like what you see, if you don't like how you feel about yourself, change. If you look in the toilet bowl and not enough came out, or it looks kind of weird of what came out, well, then you got to change. You got to change what you're putting in the pie hole, right? And look in the mirror. Oh, I can't change it in the pie hole. I can't stop drinking. Okay, look back in the mirror. Why can't you stop drinking? What are you drinking for, right? You see the direct feedback loop. Yet we let go of common sense, and now everything has to be like, well, what's the scientific validation of that? I don't know. They got commercial conduits in the pharmaceutical companies and the news reports and everything's scientifically validated, but everybody else is fat, sick, and nearly dead. Well, how can it be scientifically validated that it's A-okay and then everyone's sick, dead, and dying? And you got to be a health nut just to be marginally like healthy, strong, muscular, skin looks good, vibrant, energetic. Right? Like you got to be a conspiracy theorist or like a research, you know, your own research scientist to be healthy today.
Yeah, because like after digging into the space, I'm like, can I drink the tap water I'm drinking? Like oils are bad. Like I'm learning all these things and I'm as confused as I was like I've ever been.
Well, good. You're waking up and that's part of the process, which is a great thing because there's a tidal wave happening right now. A tidal wave of consciousness. And this was the third vision that I saw in the Amazon. And it's coming strong, hard, and fast, right? And so, and you see the old systems just trying to hold down the dear life. I was surprised they didn't kill the shit out of us with the masks and the vaccines and the mRNA and people lost their mind. Remember, we always have to remember, Andy, Stanley Milgram did an experiment at Stanford in the 60s. It's called the Milgram experiment. And And in it, he realized that 67% of the people will kill you if an authority figure tells you to do so. So only 33% of the population will do the right thing. So the only thing you got to ask yourself is, will I do the right thing? Or will you be like a brown shirt, Hitler's brown shirts, and the children that were ratting on their parents, right? Or are you going to be the resistance? You know, what are you going to be? Are you going to hold up truth? I'm willing to die for what I believe in, right? I'm ready to go. I was ready to go as soon as that nonsense started in 2020. I knew it was coming. In fact, I spent a decade lecturing beforehand the big shift, the quantum leap was coming. People, what do you mean? And boy, oh boy, when 2020 rolled around in early January, I go, ooh, this is a big year. I could feel it. And I studied the Mayan calendar and went to the Mayan and Incan temples and really asked myself questions like, you know, what level of consciousness was here? And so, and then 2012 wasn't the big transition. And then 2015, still no big shift. 2017, no, still no big shift. But I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. And that's just the catalyst, 2020. Right? We're still moving through this huge transformation of consciousness. If you read UN Agenda 21 that came out in 1992 at the Rio Summit, the UN Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Agenda 21, the population is to push, the agenda is to push people out of the nature corridors and put them into the cities. 15-minute cities, they're calling them now. It's been updated to Agenda 2030. And so they've been working decades for the control of the human. Decades. And so so we must envision our own future, the peace that we all desire in our hearts. And, you know, as consumers, we need to vote with our dollars. Don't buy things that we don't need. Invest in your health. One thing, tomorrow is not guaranteed. So today is a good idea to be healthy. Watch what we put in the pie hole. We are never unconscious of what goes over our lips, ever. Remember your first French kiss? We are never unconscious. Now we can be dumbed down and ignorant and ignore what we're putting in there. But we are never unconscious of what goes in over the lips.
With this big shift you're talking about, Troy, what does that look like? If this is just the catalyst, what does the next 10, 20 years look like? And how can people get ahead of the curve or sort of jump on this trend early and sort of ride this wave that you're talking about that will happen?
Well, I think there's only one thing that you can do. And I wrote a book about it. It's called Ripped at 50, A Journey to Self-Love. We must take care of the vessel, the temple of God, within sight of ourselves. It's the only thing you can do. The only thing you have is your health, your word, and the present moment. It's the only thing you have. Everything else is in the past, which doesn't exist, or the future, which doesn't exist. You can call forth with your vision, right? And that's how we manifest things. Steve Jobs wanted to put a handheld computer in everyone's hand. The Wright brothers wanted to fly like an eagle, while all the scientists and the media personalities told them that they were crazy and man will never fly, right? So we have to dream the impossible dream. The shamans always told the stories around the fire, the folklore, to protect the children and the new generations for what might be out in the darkness, what may be on the horizon to eat, or what may penetrate the perimeter and eat them, right? That's man's job. Man has always known what's on the horizon to eat and what can eat us or penetrate us and harm the future of the family, the women and the children. And we've gotten so domesticated and soft and far off of that point. And so we come back to the strength of the human being. Invest all of your money into your own health and well-being. and then set the template for others as we invest in companies, farms, entities that are safeguarding the future of the children, because it's all about the future of the species, right? If we are to carry on this spiritual journey on Earth, right? I think Earth is a good spiritual playground, a good experiment worthy of continuing. That's just my personal philosophy. And I must couch it in philosophy enough. Otherwise, I sound like a religious fanatic or a cult leader, which I am. Give me all your white women. That's an old John Belushi joke for anyone that wants to get offended. And so, yeah, you know, and people have called, you know, accused me of creating a cult. I don't want a cult. My dad was in a cult, and I hated the leadership, right? Because it's always about, like, you got to come to that one person to be validated. Bullshit, right? I'm here to validate everyone, right? Go out and be a leader. Don't follow me. I'm not looking for followers. I'm looking for leaders, right? I'm here to set humanity free. I want everyone to be free, right? And do what is in their heart that is their gift, right? We all have unique gifts, all of us. And if we all would just give our gifts and be ourselves authentically, the world would be a better place. So I have a coaching program. It's called Fit and Free, the Legacy Method, to live your legacy. Claim it. Put your stake in the ground. Otherwise, you're going to get pushed around by your boss and the corporations and the way that, you know, they want to dictate to you. You have to put your Genghis Khan, Bruce Lee, Jesus Christ flag into the ground. Put your stake in the ground. And so I was going to call the program How to Be Yourself. If we all would just be ourselves, be healthy, right? That's the essence of my book. I'm standing on a Swiss ball for balance, right? As above, so below. How do we expect the world to be healthy? Screw climate change. Be healthy first in your own little ecosystem. How do we expect the world to be healthy if we can't be healthy ourselves? And health is not just physical and what you eat and what you drink. Health is mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. Gratitude and forgiveness will get us a lot further. You know, I like to hate on Bill Gates and all sorts of politicians that claimed war and this and that. And I think I can do a better job. But at the end of the day, you know, blessings to everyone. You know, may all human beings find peace. May all beings find peace everywhere, you know. And I say that, you know, because I like to hate on people too. But I haven't walked a mile in their shoes. I don't know how much Jeffrey Epstein videotapes they have on everybody. You know?
Troy, what's your relationship, or who is God to you? Is God something from within that you can unlock if you become enlightened? Is God the stream of consciousness around us and we can listen outwards? What is God and how do you tap into that?
Well, I think all of the philosophical elements that you can pull together that help you reason with your material in the third dimension in time and space, right? God, you know, I like to say, you know, God is everything. So if that's true, then God is in me, right? God is in you, right? The assalamu alaikum and namaste, these are all, you know, I witness the God presence in you, right? These are greetings that we've had, ancient greetings. You know, you can't walk around like David Icke and say that I am God, right? However, you are, right? You're imbued with the power and the spirit of the creator with the power to create, right? That's what our sexual force is all about, is our power of creation. Our imagination, Einstein said, imagination is more powerful than knowledge. So our imagination, whatever we can imagine, remember, anything in your space, including the house that you're building, that you're living in, was made in the mind of man. When I teach my entrepreneurs, I tell them, you can't have in the hand what you don't have in the mind first. Everything that you see in the modern world that's not nature, tree, dirt, grass, right, was made in the mind of man first in creation. So anyways, I'm getting a little too far off, you know, philosophically. I'm still understanding God and my relation to it. Right? I think God is everything, right? And also my mentor, Paul Check, likes to say, well, can you agree that God is unconditional love, Andy?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So that means there's no conditions. He has some really powerful questions, right? And I've witnessed him teach, and he's the top strength and conditioning coach in the world. He was famous in Australia, actually. His name is Paul Check. And he taught a day and a half on God and blew my mind. But he brings up this whole thing. Well, can you agree that God is unconditional love? Okay, unconditional love sounds great. But unconditional love, there are no conditions. So God is everything. Then God is war, rape, pillage that we see in the Middle East for oil. There are no conditions. We have free will, right? So all is God, right? There is nothing that isn't God. So that's pretty far out there philosophically. And I don't want to bastardize his teachings. He's got a lot of good classes that you can take online at the Czech Institute. And find your way to him and let him teach that. I think he has a video on YouTube, the Diamond Mind series, and it was published probably in 2010 or 2009. You can find that. His explanation of God, you'll find it pretty deep. But I will also quote him because he talked about asking Laird Hamilton that question. And Laird Hamilton is the biggest big wave surfer in the world. He surfs 100-foot waves. And when he asked what his definition of God was, Laird responded, what works? So what works in the present moment, right? What is working? So if your life's not working, it's time to change it, right? It's a good indication. The pain teacher is guiding us. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to the body temple and that pain that's coming on? What's working? What's not working? Oh, well, now we have the age of information. I can turn on a YouTube video and see how to heal my alcoholism, why I'm bloating, why my skin has issues, and it's directly related to the gut, and, you know, how to get better sleep patterns and et cetera. The information is there. So I like that definition of God is what works in the moment.
Troy, is psychedelics something that you incorporate to your yearly routine, or what's your relationship with psychedelics?
Well, I've been doing psychedelic research for the better part of the last two decades, where I have consciously and used them spiritually and consciously. I will say that I grew up as a product of the flower children, the hippies of the 1960s in Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco. I lived there in 1967 through 1970, I do believe. And so psychedelics have been around me. I spent time in jail as a youth. I had a sheet of LSD, and mushrooms were all around me in Northern California. And so I had many experiences as a youth with them, maybe over 300. And then there was my party phase as well. But I sobered up for many years, stopped drinking and using drugs altogether for about 8 years. And then I started drinking ayahuasca. And I've done ayahuasca 30 or 40 times. It's a tool in the toolbox. It's a way to have a deeper look into the soul, the world, the way, you know, things are, et cetera, and maybe take down the veil of illusion and give us a different perspective. And so, but I got a lot of the visions that I've saw and that my subsequent work. My mission is to raise human consciousness and change all systems. My vision is clean air, water, soil, and equitable systems for all of mankind in my lifetime. So I'm very clear on my visions, and all my work online is directly related to this. So I don't necessarily need to do more psychedelic research. I've done ibogaine twice recently. It's excellent for trauma, chemical dependency, addiction, human optimization, lots of research on the military and trauma. So I've had two experiences on that. Very powerful. Most people only do it once and that's it. So I'm fairly done with my psychedelic research for my own personal spiritual journey. However, it's powerful medicine. It's useful. I take people on retreats. I'm taking people back to the jungle this year, not only to do ayahuasca, but also ibogaine on two separate journeys. And so if I'm called to do it on that, I will do it again. Otherwise, it's a great tool in the toolbox. But psychedelics are only 50% of the work. It's only, maybe even 30 or 40% of the work. It is only a part of the work. The integration, the messages that you get are very important to integrate into your life. It's not whether you see God and the angels or visions of your mother in the past and you get to forgive. I got to get on my next call as well. And so it's about what you do with that information and the integration. But Andy, I have my next call, brother. I'll be happy to come on again.
Thank you so much, Troy. I really appreciate it. This was so fun. I learned so much. This was just like a really fun, chill conversation. I know you have a next course, so I'll let you quickly go, but thank you so much for your time. Where can everyone find your books and all your socials?
Yeah, find me on my book is available paperback on Amazon.com globally. And then the hardcover, if you're in the United States, you can order them from my Instagram and we'll sign one and mail it out to you. The Certified Health Nut, Certified Health Nut YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, CertifiedHealthNut.com. I'm easy to find. Troy Casey, Certified Health Nut. Signing out, baby.
Thank you so much, Troy. I love how aligned, real, and raw you are.
Thank you.
God bless, Andy. We'll talk soon, brother.
Yes, please. So yeah, that's another episode of the podcast. Hopefully you guys got value from today's episode, and I'll see you guys next week with another episode. Peace. That was really fun.